Your home is your biggest investment. So don't waste money experimenting when it comes to building, maintaining, or repairing it. From the chimney and the flooring to your siding and even the white picket fence, we've got you covered. This is Home Science Show, where we dispel the myths and misconceptions about your home, reading the fine print so you don't have to. Here's your hosts, Chris Linder and Dimitri Lipinski.
Welcome back, everyone, to Home Science Show. I'm Dimitri with Chris here, and we have a very special guest, Anthony Gosen. Anthony flew all the way from California to us. He specializes in financing home improvements. Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you here and have smart talks about financing, something we've never talked on the show before. And I want to, guys, open with you on a topic that's been all over the news later. The Sears is going out of business. Sears, it's Amazon in 30s, right? So 70, 80 years ago, it was the biggest retailer. Now it's going out of business. Obviously, nobody is too big to fail. And I want to talk about financing, as a general. Is it good that we as a country finance so much? We finance our cars, our homes, our TVs. Now, home improvements, I want to get a lot on that topic in a few more segments. But let's start with Sears. Why do you think Sears is going out of business? Just your opinion, Anthony.
I think that it's not something that's happening in a vacuum. So it's clear that it's not just that Sears was mismanaged. It's clear that there's a broad kind of movement away from the traditional retail business model. And I think, sure, you know, on the one side, you have something like Sears going bankrupt. On the other side, you have a company like Amazon being worth $1 trillion. And so that's, you know,
but on that comment, they both use debt to grow. So Sears got in trouble because how much debt it has on the books. I think they failed to pay like $120 million. They're supposed to a loan payment. I mean, think about that payment, $120 million. I mean, obviously for a huge company, it's not, it's still a lot of money. But then on another side, Amazon is no foreigner to debt either. Like, they've been borrowing money for years as well, but they turn it into profit, where Sears for 8-9 years could not show profit on the books. Last profitable year for Sears was 2010. I mean, think about it. And the same goes for a lot of people. Some people live in fancy homes and they're completely upside down, and some people making money on their homes and have asset.
Yeah, but isn't that a difference in trending? So in other words, Amazon, you know, they're operating at a loss for all those years, mm-hmm. But I think the writing on the wall was pretty clear which direction they were heading, versus Sears was already there, headed the wrong way, right? I mean, you know this better than I do, Anthony.
Well, so there's a number of different things going on. So really what it comes down to is the cost of goods sold, right? And for Amazon, they don't have huge warehouses storefronts to operate in the same way that something like Sears does. So it actually is a much more capital efficient business, which is why it has such a high value relative to Sears or any other, or Walmart, which actually on a transaction basis is probably not too different in terms of how many, you know, purchases are going through a Walmart system. But Amazon didn't actually finance a lot of their growth with debt. They financed it with equity. So like, people invested money for shares of Amazon, and then that's what they were effectively using to grow their business. And so it's a little bit of a different model, but there are tons of businesses that use debt to grow. Like, in fact, I know a bunch of them that effectively knew how to use debt to grow their businesses without, you know, having to sell parts of their company, and have done that really successfully. So it's you know, when you get into it, there's kind of a couple of different ways to operate. And what you're seeing with the tech companies is that they don't really use debt to grow as much.
Ken, you're listening to the Home Science Show with Dimitri and Chris, and we've got Anthony going in here from Hearth, and Anthony flew in today from California, and he's, you know, his background's in finance. He's got his hand in a lot of this stuff. He sees and interacts with a lot of these big companies on a daily basis to really understand what's going on. So, you know, we brought him in to help educate us a little bit on some of this stuff.
Would you guys agree that Americans are, one, addicted to borrowing money, and two, are gambling with loans? And what I mean by that is, if you look at the 2009 crisis, a lot of people were gambling on the, you know, loans with the home mortgage loans. And we see that our homes are usually increasing in value. So if I take a loan, we always can justify it. I mean, taking car loan is always stupid, like Dave Ramsey said, because car depreciates. Now, home improvements and houses usually appreciate. That's why so many people took home equity loans to remodel. But then when crisis happened and you're cash poor and you're upside down, people get out and that's where a bubble burst and we all get in trouble. Would you agree that we addicted and we gamble too much with loans? And talking about Sears today, they gambled for the last 7-8 years, but there's only so much you can gamble with the debt because, you know, you play with the snakes. Eventually, you're going to get bite.
Yeah. Well, listen, you know, a home equity loan and gambling on that and financing things against it, you know, the equity is only there if somebody's willing to pay it. And if you're in a situation where you need them to pay it, you need to be paying attention to that investment from a standpoint of, you know, am I going to back out of this investment in time while it's still worth something? Because if I got, you know, $100,000 in equity in my home based on what the market is telling me today, and things take a turn and that home is no longer worth that, it wouldn't do me any good to sell it. Now I'm just sitting on, you know, this big mortgage payment that I can't afford and I can't even, you know, dump out of it.
My question is to Anthony, real quick, you're getting in the, like you're already in, you're not getting, you're in a home improvement financing world. It cannot be hard to sell loans. To home, because again, only because Americans are so used to borrowing money for everything. I mean, you go to Best Buy, people buy TVs, people buy phones, people buy everything on credit. Is it hard or easy to sell home improvement loans?
I think it's hard. You know, I don't think it's actually as easy as you'd think. There's so many reasons why it's hard, but one of the reasons why is because we're entering this new paradigm where these financial products are available online and digitally. And so you're actually interacting with a set of pixels on a screen, and then at the other end can come $10,000, $20,000 into your bank account. And that's just something that was never possible before. And so part of what's hard about it is most of the people who get loans through us, for example, at Hearth, you know, it's the first time they ever got a loan online. And for the most part, they didn't even know that that was possible. And so that's, I would say, like a more superficial barrier, you know, to building the business. But there's, you know, there's all sorts of reasons why it's hard. And I guess to wrap it back to your point about addiction and gambling with respect to loans, I would say, you know, one of the things that I'm most passionate about is, you know, people just aren't aware of what's available to them, and they don't know how to necessarily think about, you know, making personal financial decisions with respect to credit. And it's not because of anything other than the fact that there's no systematic way in this country that we educate Americans about making important financial decisions. And what you get on the other end of that is something like the subprime mortgage crisis. You know, obviously, I think that there's, you know, I wouldn't actually say that that's the responsibility of the people. I think that there's a lot of incentives and they were broken, et cetera. But, you know, if people really knew how to think about these financial products, I think they could have avoided a lot of the pain. Here's the kind of basic rule, and I know I'm going on this, but I just want to make sure that this point is, when people sign deals, right, when they're getting a loan, most of them will hand wave over the stuff they don't understand. Yep. There's almost no other transaction that you take in a business context where you'd put a contract in front of you, you don't understand what's going on in that contract and the way it makes you responsible, and you're just kind of like, you know, okay, fine, whatever, I'll just sign here and I'll get the other side of the deal. No, you don't look at it like that. And so we need to figure out how to educate people to understand what they're signing in order to get money.
But to that point, Americans own almost $1 trillion in the credit card debt, and nobody reads fine print there either. Isn't it always the same credit cards when we sign for credit cards as a nation now, like $1 trillion in debt to like home improvements or any other debt? I mean, people don't read fine print.
No, they're very different. They're very different, and they all have different implications. In terms of payback and et cetera, how the interest works. I mean, there's daily compounding. There's all sorts of different factors that go into that.
Yeah. Again, you're listening to the Home Science Show with Dimitri and Chris, and we're talking with Anthony Gowan with Hearth. And when we get into this a little deeper, we're going to talk about, you know, what does it mean to us as homeowners when we do finance? Should we be financing? And so after the break, we're going to get into, is it smart to finance home improvements?
Yes, yes, yes.
Welcome back to the Home Science Show with Dimitri and Chris. And we've got Anthony going here with Hart. Anthony, man, thanks for flying in today. We're going to hit you with some more stuff. And I know our audience, this is a big thing. We talk about home improvement all the time. We're homeowners. We got all these different things. And we're not always in a position to just, you know, pay for them, you know, whatnot. So we want to know what we should be doing. Dimitri, what, in your opinion, is a good thing to finance when it comes to home improvement?
Well, Chris, like we talked many times in the show before, there is a smart home improvement project and there's not a smart. So there's needs and there's wants. The same goes pretty much in anything in life. You can finance a car that you don't really need. You can finance a $100,000 car and you can finance a $15,000 car. You can have the same excuses and you can try to justify it. Like, for example, if you're a contractor, you can come home and buy $80,000 truck and tell your wife, hey, baby, it's a tax write-off. I can afford it, blah, blah, blah. And you're upside down. You don't have enough cash to pay for it. Or you can finance $15,000. So I cannot say that it's bad. There's definitely scenarios where it's smart. I think it's very smart to use banks' money, especially same as cash. And I want to ask Anthony.
But when do we do that? Like which things? Give me an example.
When you have a business plan and you know for a fact you're going to get your money back. For example, let's say you have insurance process. Let's say you have a hail damage and insurance company sending you check. You know for a fact you're getting $30,000, but it's 3, 4, 5 weeks out. So what you can do, you can get 12 months same as cash, pretty much use the money for free because like finance the project for $30,000 and later use the insurance money to pay it back, but you have 12 months to pay it back.
So sure, but
if there are no prepayment penalties?
Yeah,
exactly. And that's what I want to ask you, Anthony, like guide us through like, I want you to be our guide right now. How home improvement financing different from any other financing?
Yeah, so this is something we learned a lot about because actually the products that you're getting through our system, you can use towards anything, whether it be a home improvement or, you know, you want to get a new car or you want to, you know, pay down a college tuition or anything. And so the question is, you know, when does it make sense to use these tools for home improvement? And so at a high level, there's four types of debt. There's unsecured debt and then secured debt. Unsecured debt means that when the person is borrowing, when you're kind of borrowing money, you don't have to put anything up as collateral. And then secured debt, often it's your home that you're putting up. So in unsecured debt, there's credit card, which is the most expensive type of debt in the market. Then there's a personal loan. And the difference there is that in a credit card, you get a certain, you know, amount that you can pull down and then pay off every single month. And then a personal loan, you get the entire amount you need, $30,000 up front. And then you pay it back in fixed monthly payments over a, you know, fixed period of time, up to 12 years. Then when you go back to secured bucket, you have a home equity line, which is like a credit card, except the rate is lower because they kind of have your house as collateral, or a home equity loan, which is like a personal loan where you get the money up front. But again, the rate is lower and the term is longer because they've got your home up as collateral. And so the way we think about it is there's different types of home improvement and they correspond to different financial products. So if you're getting a beautiful new kitchen that's your dream kitchen, right, and you don't necessarily want to wait for it in terms of saving, then probably the right loan for you is a home equity line or a home equity loan because those types of products take about 30, sometimes even 60 days to actually get the money. And so you have the time to wait to get that lower rate and longer term.
Yeah, because you're not going to just wake up one morning and need a new kitchen.
Absolutely, yeah. So in those cases, you know, that type of product is actually not so bad. Now, if you have a hole in your roof and it's leaking in your living room and it's creating all sorts of other damage, then chances are you want to get that project started. I mean, you two are very familiar with, you know, what it's like to deal with a homeowner in that situation. You want that solved immediately. And so in that case, it might make more sense for you to get something that's, you know, immediately accessible, like a personal loan or a credit card, where you can get that dispersed the next day or in 2 days, and then you can pay the contractor to get the work done to stop the leaking from, you know, creating more damage and costing your house. And then the cool thing is that if you do have home equity, you can then pay off that loan with a home equity loan. So let's say you take a personal loan out for 15-16%. Just to get the project started, do the deposit on the project.
Get the ball rolling.
Absolutely. And then you talk to your bank or however you go about getting a home equity line. And then that comes 30, 60 days later. You can use that to pay down the personal loan. In our case, none of the, I'm not trying to plug here, but we work with lenders that have no prepayment penalties. So you're only paying a couple months installment payment. And then now you're talking about
it. I'm okay with the plugin, by the way, because as a contractor, I use GetHearth, and it's a good service. What's your website?
www.getharth.com.
Awesome. Yeah, check it out. It doesn't cost you anything. It doesn't even pull your credit report. You can do self-check. And I highly recommend it as an option. There is obviously other options. My construction company have two or three finance options that we offer. GetHearth is one of them. So definitely check them out. But I like the topic. I like how you brought home equity loan, because now you just have more options in your creative, because I know how hard it is to get home equity loan sometimes. Like, it's hard. It's not easy. It's easier to do after the fact. Like, let's say if you already did addition or you finished the basement, you already increased value of your home, and it's easier to get home equity loan versus beforehand. It's completely different process.
Yeah, I think even knowing what some of the products that are out there before we need these things is important, because I think a lot of people, now you're forced into a 100%. Situation and you got to figure it out. And so I just, a little clarity for me, because I was really intrigued by this. Your products, they're not a home equity.
No.
Correct? And I mean, I went onto the website, and what I see, I mean, basically, I mean, I'm clicking and I'm going to have approval like very quickly on, a good amount of money if I need it.
Absolutely, yeah.
And it'll be in my account within days.
Absolutely.
For me to do my project.
Maybe the next day.
Yeah.
But, one of the things that we're looking to do, and I'm talking about, 3 to 5 to 10 years from now, is we actually are able to figure out, using technology, what the right financial product is for you given a project that you're doing. And so one of the cooler projects that we have in the works right now can actually just take your name and address, income, and then, the time frame in which you want to get an improvement done. And we can pull from, there's a lot of data out there about you, including how much home equity you have. And we can pull that information to see, do you qualify for home equity loan? And if so, we can direct you to the right thing. So I think that, we're using technology to make a lot of that thinking a lot easier, and then also bring content to you so that you can understand exactly why, you should be getting a personal loan, not a home equity loan, or a personal loan, then a home equity loan.
Another quick question is, so with your system, with your platform, am I correct to say that homeowner gets paid, not a contractor? So it also gives that extra cushion for the homeowner not to get screwed. So if I'm a contractor and I offer financing through a platform, you're not paying directly to me. You're paying directly to the homeowner, and the job has to be performed pretty much homeowner pays me.
Yeah, so the homeowner behaves like they would behave if they had cash.
Okay.
And so, let's say that you're, and then the cool thing about that is that you might actually want a, extra 5 or 10 or 100, I guess not 100, but like you might want some extra money for some other projects or some other, loose ends that you want to tie up. And so you can pull that through our product, pay whatever you need to pay to the contractor, and then use the extra money towards anything else that you've got going on.
Yeah. Again, you're listening to the Home Science Show with Dimitri and Chris. You can find us on YouTube, the Home Science Show, and our website is homescienceshow.com, or email us at info@homescienceshow. We want to hear about, what you've got projects going on and the things that you're up to. And if there's questions that we can answer, or we can get them to Anthony with regards to finance, or you can visit him on his website. It's GetHearth. It's GetHearth.com. And the volume of different lending opportunities that are out there is overwhelming to me. And, it's not that I don't understand them, but knowing when to pick the right thing and, what to do with it, I think is a question a lot of people have. Because like you said, I've got a roof project that I need to get done, pretty immediate type thing, even if it's not an emergency. I want to get that done. But then, is that do I want to finance that short term with a credit card? Or is it a home equity thing? All those things. And I think what I hear you saying is you guys are trying to educate a little bit on that and steer towards the right products rather than maybe slam somebody into a product that you think.
Absolutely. We're not a lender. So we only win when you find the right product for you. And whether that product is a credit card or a home equity line or a personal loan doesn't really matter to us from our perspective. what matters most is that we're able to figure something out to get that project started in partnership with the contractors so they can get the business, really. That's our business model at its core.
Yeah.
And so what we're trying to do is, I mean, literally the reason one of the things that really pushed me to start the company in the first place was reading that 25% of people finance their projects their home improvement projects with a credit card.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's a $330 billion spent on this market a year in this country.
Gosh. Yeah, that's nuts. And, you know, then what the percentage of those people that are just
That's like $75 billion of credit card debt.
Yeah, it's insane. Yeah, I think that, you know, the solutions that you're offering without having the, you know, you're not trying to steer somebody into one direction. You're trying to provide options and solutions. And that's what I liked about it, because I think a lot of people just need to understand some of that. And then servicing directly to an industry, you know, like home improvement, which for most of us is our biggest asset, is important. Have you financed anything for your home, you know, as far as home improvement?
I finance a lot of things for my clients, for my house. I usually just, I financed building materials. I didn't finance labor because I'm handy, unlike you, and I can build stuff. I don't need to hire a contractor. But when we come back, guys, we're going to talk about how do you finance home projects and why do you finance them. We're going to talk about bad case scenarios where you should not be pulling financing, because some people are getting addicted to financing and they just want to finance every TV, every piece of equipment, every project in the house. And I don't think it's good for the country. I don't think it's good for the economy. So we're going to talk a lot about different options, different products, and what we're using financing for. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to Home Science Show with Dimitri and Chris. We've got Anthony going in here with Hearth, and we're talking finance today. And we are wanting to know a little bit more about how do you finance projects, why insurance delays, you know, remodelers, emergencies, what should we be financing exactly, which projects, and how to look at those things.
I would like to challenge both of you, and especially Anthony here. Do we really need financing? Because I can tell you right now that car drives better when you don't have a loan on it. And I know there is a lot of good loans, and there is a lot. I mean, it's an amazing tool. I recommend people all the time. But I want to be very careful. As a country right now, we owe over $13 trillion in debt. Trillion in, or is it a billion in credit card loan? Here's the deal. I just don't want to be that guy who goes on the air and recommends everybody's like, hey, go finance everything. I want to be the guy who said, be very careful, but I want to hear from Anthony as a finance guru, because I know I recommend the service, but I want to be very careful with my message to the public today. What's your answer to it? Is overall, is a financing evil, bad for the country, or amazing for the country?
It's hard to paint it in such a broad brush, right? Like with anything, when you use it too much or use it irresponsibly, it's not going to be good for you. But, you know, you gave the analogy of a car that's paid off drives better. And I think that, you know, if you're getting a car, like you said, just because you think it's a nice car and you kind of want to live a little bit and you're financing that, probably not a great idea. But guess what? If your car breaks down, or, you know, you lose your car in some way and you've got to get, and you have to commute to work, and if you don't show up, you're going to lose your job and you don't have cash. Well, guess what? You know, there's a good thing that there's a tool for that, to get, you know, the car down to an affordable price where you can actually get a new car and then, you know, keep your job, which is really what we're talking about for the most part. And when it comes to home improvement, why I'm saying, you know, there are times where if you just want a beautiful new kitchen, you should save. I mean, you can read that on our website, by the way. I mean, we don't really give too much advice, because we really believe in people making their own decisions if they make sense for the individual.
Love it.
But in this case, you know, we tell you, like, if you're getting a new car, new kitchen, generally speaking, you should save. If you're not saving, maybe get a home equity line. We're not telling you get a personal loan. But if there's a hole in your roof and you need to fix it tomorrow, it's credit card or personal loan. And a personal loan is cheaper. It's just on average 3% cheaper, and it's something most people aren't aware of. So I guess it's highly situational. You know, it's important that people know what's available, what the trade-offs are. That's the key thing that I want to stress here is that, you know, the education around what you're buying, what you're signing is so critical. And I know at some point we're going to get to 0%, but I think, you know, it's even more true there than anything else. Than in
what's the highest rate you offer right now?
What do you have? It depends on the state.
Let's say you have a bad credit and you need $20,000 roof. And let's say your score is under 700.
Like, under 700 is not that bad, by the way. I mean, like, if you're talking 680, you could be looking at a 16, 17% rate, you know.
And credit cards are, what, like in 20s?
Absolutely, it's in 20s. And then also it's a different type of interest.
Okay.
It's daily compounding interest versus like a fixed monthly payment. So in other words, like, you accumulate the total sum of the – you know, balance that you haven't paid off, and it passes month to month. And so in other words, like, you can get actually like an exponential increase in the amount of interest you're paying, assuming you're not paying off your balance every month, whereas that's not really possible with a personal loan. But, you know, again, it really matters that you understand what you're buying and what you're signing up for. And you read about these really sad traps that, you know, there's certain companies. I don't know, there's a great article about one in the Southeast recently that they do payday loans where they put terms in the loans where there's like late fees or sign fees, et cetera. And then the fees add up, and then the fees actually, you get interest on the fees, and then you end up in these debt traps.
Yeah, and they're preying on people that are in need and uneducated in the situation. It's really sad.
Totally. It's really screwed up. And part of the thing that we're trying to solve for is, like, how do we help educate people in a country that doesn't have any other institution that systematically educates people about making these key financial decisions? And, you know, from my perspective, if we're talking about spending time and energy solving a problem, that's a worthwhile problem to solve.
Yeah, absolutely.
Should they teach it at school?
I think so, 100%.
I think it should be a core class, not an elective. I think it's one of the most important things.
I was joking with Dimitri earlier. I was saying, like, why do they teach geometry? It's useless. But obviously, you know, given his roofing background, maybe it's not so useless for him. But
why do you think they don't teach it in school?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think there should be a how the heck to live once you get off mom and dad's ticket, right? Like, the real crap that you deal with on a daily basis, like, this is what's going to happen, dude. This is the reality. Figure out, and the whole class should be how to get your way through life in that semester or whatever it is, because that's the first reality we're faced. You know, there's so many just real life situations there.
Let's talk about good scenarios where you can use home improvement loan. Like, first thing that comes to my mind, and you think, Chris, about something else, don't copy me. But but first thing that comes to me is financing deductibles, insurance deductibles.
Oh, you took mine.
I see a lot of people who, especially in the southern states like Texas, where it's percentage of your home equity. So, like, where it's 2%, 3%. So people don't have $5,000 to pay deductible. And what they are resulting is either compromising quality of repairs or not even doing repairs. So, like, insurance comes in and say, well, your roof is going to cost you, or siding or whatever, $15,000, but you have to pay $5,000 from it. So people can finance it and to get full value of $15,000. So yes, you're going to have a payments on $5,000, which is fine, but you're still getting $15,000. So for me, it's really good debt, because you actually you're financing the fracture of the project versus, you know, entire project. But then if you don't have the tool, now you're not getting anything. You'll take money, your house depreciates because it has bad roof, bad siding or whatever, and then 5 years later when you sell it, you still have to replace it. You maybe spend the 10 grand instead of increasing value, you decreased it.
Yeah, I tend to look at financing like, when is it smarter to use your money instead of mine? And so that scenario to me, if I got a 3% deductible and I get, you know, on a $500,000 house or whatever, rather than pulling that dough out of my account or using it somewhere else that's more effective for me, even though, you know, it's a fraction of what the whole roof is going to cost, sometimes it just makes more sense for me to use that borrowed money as long as the rate and everything makes sense, rather than give up my liquid position on something.
Another one, again, coming to insurance restoration industry. A lot of times insurance pays minimums or what you already have. So, for example, if you have siding and it's, you know, just got hail damage or roofing, but it's bare minimum product. For me, if you're getting insurance check for $20,000 for the bare minimum, I would highly recommend financing the upgrade, because yes, you might get extra $5,000 in the project. Maybe you don't have it, but if you upgraded to fancier siding, like siding actual James Hardie, like solid product on your walls, on exterior, will increase curb appeal. Actually, it's number one return on investment in entire home improvement, better than even like bathroom remodel, kitchen remodel. So you will get your money back down the road. So if you don't have $5,000, $10,000, maybe finance it, add to the project and increase value of the project that way. But also think about this. It's not your money. It's you using 2/3 of the project financed by your insurance company. You're just adding and upgrading, maybe making your home more energy efficient, whatever the case is.
Yeah, the insurance company is going to reimburse you for the same crappy siding that builder put on there.
Exactly.
That you wish you didn't have. Versus, if you were just going to go out and buy this, the first thing you're going to look at is, whatever you think is going to improve your home the most and look the best. Well, now you're 3/4 or 2/3 or whatever the way there with that insurance money. Spend that extra money to do it. And, maybe finance that portion isn't a bad idea, because it's drastically less than what you would have had to do. Because, before that storm a week ago, you weren't even thinking it was going to be possible not to finance the entire, James Hardie siding project for $60,000. And now all of a sudden you get, $40,000 dropped in your lap from your insurance company.
And then can you think of a scenario where you would highly recommend? I mean, I know you're not a contractor, you're on the back end, but what scenarios do you see that highly beneficial to the homeowner?
Yeah, I mean, look, this is the way we think about it internally is, for the personal loan, which is what we focus on, it's all about unexpected, and also you're not price optimizing. So it's something that comes up by surprise, but also something where you're not going to get the very cheapest roof for your home if you own it.
Sure.
And so that combination, plus some urgency, because obviously usually with roofing there's damage, et cetera, and it's leaking and it spreads, that is the type of thing that we tend to see financed.
Yeah, again, you're listening to the Home Science Show with Dimitri and Chris, and we've got Anthony going in here with Hearth. And, financing can come in a variety of different ways. We have a restoration company, so water and fire restoration, and one of the things that we come across is we show up at a property where we get a call, they have mold present. 90% of all of our jobs are financed by the insurance company, but depending upon how that mold got there, if it wasn't from a recent water loss or it was from a crack in a foundation or something, the insurance isn't going to pay for it. And most people don't realize it can cost, at minimum $2,500, but up to $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, $30,000 to get mold out of their home. Now you're talking your environment's not safe for your family and all those things. Would you say in that scenario, you're financing something that, it's not improving your home per se, where you're going to get any more value out of your home, but it's something. Well, it's a necessity though, right?
You will get more value because you think you're going to try to sell the house with mold in it.
Sure, but it's not a new kitchen. Absolutely. My wife's not going to enjoy the mold-free environment as far as, she's not inviting her friends over to look at it and go, hey, there's no mold, check it out.
Again, you're listening to Home Science Show with Dimitri and Chris. When we come back, we're going to share some very helpful tips on financing home improvements, what to finance and what to try not to finance, and save up your own cash to pay for. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the Home Science Show with Dimitri and Chris. We've got Anthony going in here with Hearth, and we're talking financing today, and we want to get into some tips that we as homeowners can use. So we're going to fire away a few of those and see where it takes us. Dimitri, what tips do you have?
I want to, Anthony, start first. What's your first tip to the homeowners, man?
I guess this is really comes down to reading the fine print, specifically with respect to 0% interest loans, no interest, no payment loans. So the first thing to understand is there is no such thing as a 0% loan, because interest rate is really based on the cost to acquire the customer, the profit they make, and then their assessment of the risk. So what's actually happening is that usually the person who's offering you the loan is paying that interest, But what the lenders do that's really clever is that they will essentially have you be making down payments on the principal of the loan for the promotional period. And if you don't pay the down payment on time, then you get some crazy percent interest that you have to pay on all the previous periods that you thought were promotional. And it's a little complicated, but for those of you out there who are considering it, you might understand what I'm saying, and it might have saved you a lot of heartache. And the worst part about this whole system, and you know, I'm deep in this space. We have partnerships with 13 lenders. I know a lot of the lenders in this market. They make their money on people who take 0% interest personal loans and then miss the payments. That's what they make their money on. So you're doing a deal with someone on the other end who they are desperately hoping and praying that you're not going to be able to make that payment on time, so they can slap you with an enormous fee and kind of interest rate.
So it's a numbers game. They're banking on so many people. Absolutely. What if you don't fail on it? Is 0% bad?
If you make them on time,
if you know you're going to.
Then it could be a totally great product. But most people aren't even aware of that downside case.
Because that's what dealers are pushing the most. It's same as cash. It's number one sales pitch probably in a country. You know, I know if I'm a contractor, that's how I'm going to sell my services, same as cash. But I'm not a finance company. I'm going to use companies like yours. Do you know what the numbers behind the scenes? How many people are missing payments? Is it majority of people? Is it like how many people truly taking advantage of zero cash offers, or and how many versus people who actually getting penalized?
I honestly don't know the numbers across the board. I do know that, you know, we worked very closely with a company that had a 0% product, and we spent a good bit of time trying to understand better how that worked. And we were meeting with the leaders of the company, CEO, et cetera. We're obviously not going to name the company in this case. And they were, you know, their entire business really depended on the people who miss. And why? Because the costs are so exorbitant. It's called balloon payments. You know, the costs are so exorbitant when you do miss that it subsidizes everything else.
Seems odd. You know, 0% products, aren't they typically a little harder to qualify for on the 0%? So, I mean, in other words, if you're a little bit harder to qualify, you're probably less likely to miss your payments, but yet that's what they're praying
Look,
on.
You could miss your payments because you didn't check the mail,
sure.
Or because you were too glued to the TV that day and you're going to pay it tomorrow. I mean, you know, it doesn't necessarily...
You're telling me if I'm late or... On one
I think it
payment,
depends. Let me just
I
be
miss.
Fair here.
Okay.
I think it depends. And it changes from different company with 0% to 0%. But the point is, look into balloon payments, understand how they relate to 0%, and just make sure you know what you're getting into.
Sounds good. Amazing tip, man. My tip will be finance smart. Don't finance projects that depreciate. Listen to Home Science Show every Sunday so you know what projects are great to finance, what's not, because if you finance project that depreciates in value, it'll be the same as buying luxury car that you know today is $100,000, but 3 days later it's going to be $80,000, and 2 years later it'll worth $20,000. Do you want to lose that money? Probably not, so finance smart.
Yeah, and if you're going to get, you know, if you have an insurance claim on a project, I think the deductible portion of it, if you're not in a position or a great position or, you know, whatever makes sense to you, I don't think there's anything wrong with financing that deductible. You know, if you're going to get a massive improvement that's paid for by your insurance company and you got to finance that deductible and pay that off over short, what are you going to pay? A little bit of interest on $1,000, $2,500, big deal. If it, you know, if it helps you with cash flow at the time, finance it. You know, companies, you know, gethearth.com. I mean, I think it's a great resource for that.
Thank you. I'd say my last piece of advice here is always get multiple quotes. And so one of the cool things that we've done with our technology, because we're not a lender, we're purely a technology company. What we've done is we've made it possible for you to check your rates across 13 lenders simultaneously without affecting your credit score inside of, you know, 60 or 90 seconds. And so what we found is, you know, we look at this data regularly and, you know, for the same person, multiple different lenders can have huge varieties in terms of their rate. And so you went to the wrong lender first, you could be paying a lot more than you should be paying. And so always get quotes.
Yeah, so you're telling me that if I go to getheart.com and I engage in this, you're talking 13 lenders, you're not going to bang my credit off of every single one of those, you know.
It does not affect your credit score.
Period.
Period.
Yeah, and I think that's a concern for a lot of people because whether it's, you know, that's true across the board or not, now that was the case in the past that, you know, you go buy a car, and they shop you around to every single bank out there, and all of a sudden you get, you know, all these, you know, dings on your report. It's just only a point or two at a time usually then, but you're saying zero. You know, that's a big deal because credit makes a big difference in the way you finance a home. I mean, a quarter or an eighth of a percentage point when you finance your home,
depends upon the size of the home, that could be the difference of literally $100,000 over time.
Absolutely. My tip would be on financing projects where you know for a fact money is coming in. So, for example, if you already have house for sale and you know you have potential buyer and contingency to sell the house at that price is to, let's say, buy a new roof. A lot of times, a roof might cost you only $10,000, but your negotiation power is way bigger than that. For example, if house, let's say $500,000, but has a bad roof, you might get offers like in $450,000s. But with a good roof for $10,000, you might actually get $500,000. So you're literally getting $50,000 to finance $10,000 roof. So if your realtor is saying, hey, if you do this, this, and this, and your value will increase this much, finance it. You don't have money, but you will have money coming in. The same goes with insurance. So if you have insurance claim and you know insurance a lot of times will give you only fracture of the cost, so call actual cash value. So let's say you open a claim and they gave you $40,000 or they approve for $40,000, but you're only getting $10,000 up front. And with insurance, it takes months to get all the funds. Sometimes you have to complete entire project. So if you know that extra $30,000 coming your way, go ahead and apply for financing. Be disciplined about it. Don't spend it on a boat or, you know, on a fancy vacation. Go put it on your property, finance it, and wait for the check on the back end and pay it off right away. Now using it as a tool, not as a, you know, being a kid lying on the ground that kicking, you know, floors that I need this new kitchen. It's a completely different scenario. It's a tool to get something done to get your money back later.
Yeah, and one thing I'll add to that, if you're going to use it because you know you're selling your home and you're going to, you know, fix it up a little bit, just check with your lender. Because you go and you take out an extra $20,000 to do home improvements, you know, that's going to go on your credit and you're going to have to look at your debt-to-income ratio at some point. So it comes down to finance at home, you know, it may affect your rate. But typically it's going to be just fine and they'll still be able to get you done. But you should always check in on something like that. I mean, most of them are going to tell you, no, don't buy anything because, of course, they don't want to jeopardize anything. But a good loan officer is going to be straight with you and say, yeah, you'll be fine. It's not going to affect you. Or no, it is. It is. It's absolutely going to affect you.
I think it's obvious today in today's world that you can use debt for good and for bad. And looking how we started with the Amazon and Sears story, you can drive yourself financially to the ground. A lot of people do when you constantly upside down, when you constantly keep boring. Like, that's not what we teach. That's not what this show is about. And I hope you did not hear from us today as a tip, like finance your life away. We do recommend you saving as much money as possible, paying as much cash as possible. But when you do need money, go borrow it. And who knows, maybe you'll be Amazon in your own world. I mean, it's money is not evil. Borrowing money is not evil. It's a tool, but you have to be super, super smart. Anthony, do you have anything else to add?
Yeah, I would just say, you know, don't be shy. There's a lot of resources online about this. And one last thing as we wrap up here is, you know, the tough thing is that your loan officer, your traditional bank, I mean, in the last 10 years, we've seen all of these guys lose a lot of credibility. I mean, even, I don't want to, again, I'm not going to name any names here. I'm going to get in trouble. But, you know, big banks, biggest banks in the country, you know, doing extremely unethical things. But there's a lot of newcomers now, and they've got a lot of resources. They're a lot more accessible. You can do them online. Everything's transparent. And so I would just say really make sure that you're kind of using the tools at your disposal.
Really quick, I wanted to say, like, when Chris were talking about these companies who or actually it was Anthony who was talking about companies who prey on people skipping their payments. I was thinking, those are the people who is behind our schools not teach education, financial education, because those people are benefit. And it's majority and big financial interest.
Conspiracy theory alert.
Yep.
Yeah. Listen, you're listening to Home Science Show with Dimitri and Chris. And if you've got topics that you want to talk about with regarding, you know, home improvements, contractor scams, whatever it is, we want to hear from you guys. Email us at info@homescienceshow.com. Check us out on YouTube. We've got more content on YouTube that you can visually see and, you know, get some more info on our YouTube channel, The Home Science Show. I think that, you know, one of the best ways for people to get a hold of us is to text at 612-558-4881. We're going to respond right back to you. We want to hear. We've been getting lots of texts and emails, and we want to hear more, and we'll keep on producing more content around that. Thanks for coming.